You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
Thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring to anyone who wants to listen the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined every week by and/or Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live from either Italy or from Maryville, Tennessee. And today we're blessed to have with us the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will from Italy. So we are indeed blessed. We're grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we are truly, truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with prayer as we always do. And we're going to be using a supplication. And the supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your pierced lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I love when Louisa says, Blessed Mother, you're smiling and I know you're going to divulge some secrets, some truths to us. And, you know, when we think about secrets in our modern-day vernacular, we think about usually nefarious things. Oh, it's a secret. You're withholding something that's detrimental to this or that. And actually, the language of heaven, which is, it's not another vernacular. It's just the understanding, the truths behind the vernacular that God is using. See, God uses our language so that he can communicate with us. He actually lowers himself to us so that he can communicate. But he says, Our Lady says in meditation number 3, I think it is, that a secret is really an irresistible need of the heart, which is granted to those capable of understanding. So not only is it not nefarious, but it's actually a very humble compliment. God and his mother would not be divulging these secrets, these truths to us, if he and she did not feel that we were capable of understanding. So thanks be to God for that capability. Thanks be to God for the understanding, because without God, we are nothing. And we know that. And we know that we know that. Right, Sister Teresa?
Yes. It's true, because for today, I was thinking to share with you one passage about Our Lady, especially in specific about the Immaculate Conception. And in these passages, we can read that she can understand all the secrets of God while she was conceived, because of the intimacy that she has with Jesus, the special intimacy that she was called by God. And she was she received the gift of the reason at the moment when she was conceived. So there were no wall between her and God. And this is the opposite situation for us, because we are conceived in the original sin. And we have the heredity of the original sin. So we have, little by little, we have many walls that separate, make division between us and God. But in the grace, we can come back to the origin through Our Lady, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary. We are put back in the original point of the creation, so we can have a new start. We participate in a new creation, and we can have the fruits of this new creation little by little. More we grow in the life of sacrament, especially reading the Word of God and the Book of Heaven.
And you know, and, Sister, if I may interrupt just for a moment, you know, Our Lady, through all the years, all the apparitions, all the messages, all the locutions that she's given to bless people, have all been as its primary purpose, like Jesus states, to bring us to the divine will.
Yeah,
in fact,
sure.
Fatima, she said, Fatima, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And I know many of us believe, and I know Father Nuzzi concurs with this, Father Celso does, that we are living. We are living the beginning, the entry point of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's in our lifetime, which is astonishing to think about that. So like you said, God is bringing us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God, by Him in the first place. And it's all available. He says, I've made this available to everyone in all circumstances, in all situations, in all places, except for those who do not want it. So we can't be one of those, right?
Yeah, for sure, because we already are there, but in Jesus and Mary, all is completed. Right. But little by little is communicated to us through the grace. But through the grace is the first step, and we have to go through the grace and the pains of the cross through the glory. Because the grace allows us to enter in the communion with God because we are called children of God. So we live a new life in the grace. But we are called also to share the cross. So to through the cross is not the, the word the cross is doesn't call only the suffering, but the intimacy with God, because Jesus divinized all the suffering through his humanity. So in the grace, through the cross, we will go to the glory. But is something that is giant ancora.
It's already is, but not yet.
Yeah. So we have to wait. We have to have patience. Patience is patience that God will complete all the works in us.
If we allow him.
yeah. we have to say fiat at every moment for the big things and the little things, and especially the little things that bring us to the communion with God, because we are so attached to so many little things, and we give too much value to these things, little things, but they sometimes distracted us from the communion with God.
Amen.
So I share with you my meditation is from volume 15, December 8, 1922. And Jesus told to Luisa, my daughter, the Immaculate Conception. I choose these passages because we are in the novena of the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception of my beloved Mama was prodigious and all marvelous, so much so that heaven and earth were stupefied and made feast. All three divine persons competed among themselves. The Father poured out an immense sea of power. I, the Son, poured out an infinite sea of wisdom, and the Holy Spirit an immense sea of eternal love, which merging into one formed one single sea. And in the middle of this sea, the conception of this Virgin was formed, elected among the elect. So the divinity administered the substance of this conception, and this sea was not only the center of life of this admirable and singular creature, but it remained around her, not only to keep her defended from anything that might shadow her, but to give her in each instant new beauties, new graces, power, wisdom, love, privileges, etc. So her nature was conceived in the center of this sea and was formed and grew under the influence of these divine waves, so much so that as soon as this noble and singular creature was formed, the divinity did not want to wait as usual within other creatures. He wanted her embrace the requital of her love. So I gave her the use of reason. I endowed her with whole science. I made known to her our joys and our sorrows with regard to creation. And even from the maternal womb, she will come to heaven. If we read that, we can have fear. Oh, I'm so different. What I was doing when I was in my mother's womb, probably nothing. We don't know ourselves. for know how who we are, we have to read this book, because after we can know that at the moment when she was conceived, and especially after the passage after December 16, we can read that at the moment of the incarnation of the Word, we were all conceived with Him. It's so difficult to give a comment to these passages, because I think the first comment is the silence, to embrace all this big grace, to try to understand with our poor mind. But if we believe, we have to be able to start the new life that was we were telling before, the life of Jesus. We are called to go there. And the part that called my attention was that all disease was not only in her the center of of her heart, but around her. So there was a difference between her and the creation. The creation was created, but was stopped at one point. The creation cannot grow, but Our Lady, under the affection of this ocean of love, continuously she was growing, so the creation can recognize in her the beauty. She was over the creation. So in this way, we are called to grow every day, like children of God, in a way that creation can recognize ourselves too.
Yes, and you know, you mentioned about earlier, you said about the cross, and much of that cross and crosses is not doing our own human will, not directing ourselves to hell like we're often very good at doing. You mentioned about the sea, the water. You know, God gives us these beautiful analogies, these images, that I think it can allow our meditation to reach its fulfillment. And then, of course, God gives us the grace, hopefully, of contemplation, which takes it to a broader level. But about the sea, also, volume 16 comes to mind, January 20th, 1924. And again, giving up our will. Also, it's all connected here. I'm just going to read a little bit of an entry into this. This is what it states, quote, "Therefore," this is Jesus speaking, "therefore, courage. And remember that you, Louisa, are my little boat in my will. And the divine will is not a sea of water, which has its ports and shores, where boats, ships, and passengers make their stops, take rest, give themselves to amusements, and many passengers do not even return to cross the sea again. The sea of my divine will is the sea of light and of fire, without ports and without shores. Therefore, there are no stops for my little boat. She must cross it continuously, but with such speed as to enclose the whole of the endless eternity in each one of your heartbeats and acts, in such a way as to connect them all to the eternal heartbeat and act." And it's the communion of saints. And again, without the ports, when you're on a ship, ports are a place perhaps where you can get into some mischief, some trouble. And like Jesus says, some leave, go to the port and never come back. This is like our Catholic faith. Some people leave, they never come back. We're on a boat with no stops. We have to get on the boat and God will do the rest. Sister?
I couldn't help but smile and hold back a laugh when you're reading that passage. It's just so incredible what God wants to do in us. And he is doing it us that we're not really aware of it in our day to day, because he's the one doing all the work. Oh, how can we cross seas of, infinite of his love and touch souls every, past, present, and future? We can't do that. Only God can do that in us. And actually, the passage that I wanted to share was how God does that in us. Like what our role is in order to allow God to do that in us. So it's from May 17th, 1938. It's from volume 36. So Jesus is telling us through Louisa. That is why he's talking about how we're like musical instruments, how our body and our soul together is like a beautiful instrument. So he says, that is why a speaking, moving, living person is needed to make beautiful music. But an instrument is also needed, an instrument which has keys, notes, and all the rest. Both of them are needed. It is the same with the soul and the body. There is such harmony, order, and union that one cannot do without the other. So be attentive. I watch over you, your steps, your words, the movements of your eyes, your smallest acts, so that my will may have its life, its place. We do not care whether the act is natural or spiritual, big or small, but we watch attentively to see whether it is all ours. We use even the most insignificant act to make the most marvelous wonders, tracing the most beautiful scenes to keep us all amused. Did we not make the marvelous enchantment of the whole creation from nothing? Was it not from nothing that we created so many harmonies right up to our very image and likeness in the creation of man? My daughter, if creation had to give us only what is spiritual, that would have been very little. On the other hand, by giving us also its natural acts, it can always give. We can be in continuous communion, and the bond between us never breaks. All the more so since the little things, breathing, moving, helping oneself in the little personal needs, are always handy and within reach. Such things are available to the little and the great, to the ignorant and the learned, and they never end. And if these little things are done to love us, they form within themselves the life of the divine will, our victory and triumph, the end for which they were created. See then how easy it is to live in our will. The soul does not have to do new things, but just what she always does. That is to say, to live out her life as we gave it to her, but in our will. So it's very easy. You know, it's continuing to do our day-to-day activities and duties, you know, even enjoying the things that we normally enjoy. We don't have to give any of those things up. You know, Sister Teresa was talking about creation, you know, recognizing the beauty in Our Lady, and as going back to the order, the place, and the purpose of the creature, going back to our beginnings, you know, there was perfect harmony between creation and man, between man and woman, between man and God. And he's trying to recreate that union with us. And how that's going to happen is just living our day-to-day lives, doing all the little things that we normally do with great love, whether we're enjoying something, a hobby or food or a piece of music that we're listening to, you know, just listening to it for the glory of God and for love of him, and with Jesus enjoying that in you. You know, if you're washing the floor or cleaning the bathroom or, you know, whatever it is, even if it's something that you hate to do, but you have to do it, becomes something so sweet when you realize this is a moment of great communion that Jesus, the bridegroom, wants to unite with us and pour into his infinite seas of love into our soul as we're scrubbing the toilet. I mean, the whole world, everything that we do just takes on a whole new look. And it's that simple to live in the divine will, just asking him to come do everything in, with, and through us, doing everything for love of him and uniting with him more and more, because that's really how he's going to bring us back to the beginning. You know, Adam and Eve before the fall were perfectly united with the Father in heaven, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. And he wants to bring us back to that. And he's going to do it little by little at our pace, but it's okay. We're not expected to be at the finish line right at the very beginning. He knows how to get us to the finish line. He knows how to bring it to completion. But the journey is, even though it does involve the cross, it's still very sweet along the way, because even when we're on the cross with him, we're not on the cross alone.
Well, you know, it's just the journey that Jesus says. He raised the bar. First, he says, you know, the greatest way to receive this gift from me is to move God, to give him a reason to give it to us. Now he says, though, during the journey, because of all the ups and downs we face, that he's giving us this level of enchantment. We can enchant God. And that just gives him another opportunity to trigger a release of more grace and graces that we're going to need in these difficult times. And I love the analogy he uses with us being like a musical instrument in this massive symphony of God. And he's going to give us the ability to play very well. But let's just take the flautist, for example. To blow a sweet tune, you must empty the spittoon. You've got to get rid of all that spit and that gunk in order to blow a sweet tune. So we have to get rid of the junk, for lack of a better word, in us. That we may think is a treasure, but it's not, and allow God to refill us. And that's why we have to be what I consider new wineskins.
Yeah, amen. Just one thing I wanted to add too, because this is something I found very important in my life. I feel like everything becomes a prayer, but everything can't become a prayer unless we're spending time in prayer. You know, we have to set aside time every single day. You know, you can start off small, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, if you can work it up to an hour, if you can be before the Blessed Sacrament or, you know, in the church, even if the tabernacle's closed, if you can't do that, you know, a quiet place in your house, like some candles, but, you know, a beautiful image in front of you or incarnational. We need to see and touch and smell things. Some people even burn incense in their house, but you have to have that quiet time, that alone time with the Lord, where he can just gaze upon you and you can gaze upon him and he can speak to you and just develop that contemplative spirit. Because that's really how your activity is then going to become a prayer. You have to foster that first in that quiet contemplation with the Lord.
I like that.
With that word, you call my attention when you say to enchant God. I think this is, for me, there is the spot in America. How many leaks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop? So for me, enchant God is the Tootsie Roll center of the divine will. Because like Sister Francesca was telling before, what we can do, all the works is from God. We cannot go in the ocean. It's only a work of God. He call us. He call our attention with his book. We can open our mind, but all the works is from God. But when we can understand that we can enchant God, this is the center, this is our part. But what is the secret? To accept to be nothing, to make void in ourselves, and to tell him you can do what you want little by little. It's not very easy, but we have to have more trust.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking of how Our Lady enchanted God. She was perpetually open. Yeah. She refused him nothing. And that's all we have to do. We just have to be open to whatever he wants and let him have his way with us. Let him do whatever he wants, because he can be trusted. He's a loving father.
It's exactly the point. It's our nothingness that enchants God, that allows him to see himself in us. You know, you mentioned about the Tootsie Roll. You know, God's got all this under control. Also, when I was growing up, it took you forever to get to the Tootsie Roll Center because it was a big, big candy. Now it's so small. It's so quick. It's so easy, just like the divine will. Right, Sister Elizabeth?
Yes, that's
have
right.
Have you ever had a Tootsie Roll?
No, never. But I saw the commercial. Yeah, there was an owl and little guy going around asking how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center.
We're gonna mail you some Tootsie Roll Pops, I promise you.
Yeah, I had to explain to the European sisters what it was. Yeah. Which is funny.
That's for next program.
Well,
you know, go ahead, sister.
Yeah, I don't know if we have time. Please, Peter.
About 3 minutes or so before the break.
Oh, okay. Again.
I promise we'll come back. I won't forget you. I promise.
No, I'm just joking.
I know. They always put you like right at the time. Okay, we're out of time, sister. Thank you very much for that comment. Yeah, it's sort of, but not by design, just so happens. But, you know, we're eating up your time right now. So let me just be quiet.
No. So this what sisters were saying, it was so beautiful, and like speaking about seas and marine themes, and I have also a passage that compares, you know, living in the divine will like example of the sea. And it's a passage from volume 36, July 6, 1938. And so Jesus telling to us through Louisa. Now you must know that whether the creature does or does not do our will, whether she lives in it or not, she is already in its immensity. Or better still, my will is life of her life and act of her acts, and it continuously assists her with its creative and preserving act. Therefore, one who lives in it can feel its life, its power, its sanctity, and how much I love her. It happens to her as to the fish who lives in the sea and who knows it. She feels this divine sea that is her bed carrying her in the arms of its celestial waters. It feeds her, it makes her consume herself within it.
It amuses and embellishes her, and if she wants to sleep, it forms her bed in its depths, permits nobody to awaken her. It even sleeps together with her. Such is the love of my will for the one who lives inside its sea and who knows it, that it does in her all the arts it wants to do. If it wants to think, it thinks in her. If it wants to look, it looks through her eyes. If it wants to speak, it speaks, keeping her in continuous communication, telling her many of the wonders of our eternal love. So we came from the boat, as you were saying, that kind of never goes to port. So we became a fish in the sea. So step by step. And it's also connected with Pastor, the sister Francesca was saying, like, and before in this passage, how between two lovers, the one wants what the other wants, and when we really enter into divine will, we will just want what Jesus wants, and you know, and he will want what we want. That was always you know, before I got to know about the divine will, I was always thinking, how come, you know, Jesus can never say, you know, cannot say, I don't know how to say that. He can say no to Our Lady. Is that correct grammatically?
No, he cannot. He cannot refuse Our Lady. He cannot say no to Our Lady.
Yeah, you're right.
But sister, we're going to have to hold that thought. We're going to come back to you after the break. But if we're going to the break, I want to continue with volume 16, January 20th, 1924. We're talking about the boat again. quote, my little boat, us, has the task to cross the immense sea of my divine will in order to requite us, triune God, for everything that comes from us, end quote. All aboard. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Free.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Mary, a kindergarten. And in the kindergarten, we learn much, and we have a good time doing it. I think it was Daniel Carnegie said that if you don't have fun with what you're doing, you're not going to be very good at it. And he was a very successful businessman. Before we go back to Sister Elizabeth, I'd like to just read the end of Volume 18, December 6, 1925. This is what Jesus states, quote, "My will, primary act of all celestial and terrestrial creatures, shall bring you the communication of all their acts." And here we're seeing that explication of the communion of saints, the Article 66. "And you shall remain bound to them, and they bound to you. So living in the my will encloses everything and everyone. Therefore, be attentive, for I want to give you the greatest thing that exists, but I want from you great things and highest attention. The one who gives much, much wants to receive." End quote. So we're going to ask you right now if you can give. Jesus says, the one who gives much, much will be received. Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. So without our assistance, in essence, there is no Radio Maria. There's no sponsors. There's no agendas. There's no commercials. So please, if you can be, you can be generous in two ways. You can give spiritually, which everyone has that capability. And some of us are blessed to be able to give financially. And again, everything will be returned in great numbers. I can assure you of that. So please, if you can be generous, go to radiomaria.us on the donate tab, or simply call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. And we will provide and give as a gift a relic prayer card of Luisa Picadetta, which includes a piece of her clothing. I know that's incredible. So in essence, it's a relic. Again, for any gift. And if you can make a monthly reoccurring, that's even greater, because then Radio Maria knows what's coming in when. A second gift will be a I Am Catholic card, which simply states, in case of an emergency, please call a priest. On the back has the act of contrition. Hopefully we don't need this, but maybe one of our friends or relatives do. So please, we'll do our part. Please do your part. God knows who can give. He knows who cannot. He's not asking for those who cannot. But we can all give spiritually. And those who can give financially, please do so. 888-408-0201. Sister Elizabeth, I haven't forgotten about you.
Hi. I'm here. So speaking about seas and fish and boats and things like that, I think it's because today is the feast day of Saint Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew, that's right.
And so, you know, I think that's his interference. You were speaking about the communion of saints, right. And all. I mean, that must be him, you know. So picking up these passages about, so let's get back into the sea. So in this passage that I was, volume 36, July 6, 1938, it's even the summer passage. So yeah, if anyone is freezing, I mean, if you're in Australia, you're probably very hot now. So it says, Jesus talks to Luisa about the soul living in the divine will. She sinks more and more in its sea because she knows that if she gets out of the sea, she'll lose her life. The creatures that live in our will are our celestial residents, and with their love, they delight in forming the waves of our sea to amuse us and makes us happy. So I don't know why this came to my mind when I was reading, you know, how Saint Teresa of Child Jesus, she said, in the heart of the church, I want to be loved. And I mean, sometimes it comes this kind of silly things to my mind. And I just thought, well, in the heart of the church, I want to be a fish living in the divine will. I mean, you know, and even this little fish can form little like ripples, like little waves in this sea of the divine will. And, you know, and then also here it continues, because by doing that, like we are sending these ripples in the divine will that can reach, you know, in all corners of that. I mean, there are no corners, but everywhere in that divine will see. And Jesus is saying, on the other hand, those who live in the immensity of our love but do not know us don't feel anything of this. They don't feel this, I mean, ripples of the divine will or nothing like that. They don't feel our paternal attentions that press them to our womb. They live inside our sea as if they did not live at all, so unhappy, as if they were not our children. They are like strangers, and since we are not known, we are forced by their ingratitude not to tell them even a word, and to keep repressed inside our womb the goods that we had to give them. And seeing our poor children dissimilar from us only because they don't know us is a suffering for us. Even if we gave to them, it would happen as the gospel says, Don't give pearls to the pigs, because they don't know what they are, and they would cover them with mud and trample on them. Therefore, it is knowledge that allows creatures to understand where we are, with whom they live, what they can receive, and what they have to do. So those who do not know are the true blind, because they can't see anything, no matter how many goods are placed around them. They are the vagabonds of creation. So it is like Sister Teresa was saying earlier, you know, it just by reading in the passage she read, how we were all conceived together with Jesus. I think it was day 16 from the Virgin Mary's book. You know, you get to know really where do you come from, you know, and the origins of oneself and everything and everyone by this knowledge. And Jesus is telling here about those who, you know, who were unhappy and really like blind to all of this. Maybe, you know, it's because they never got in touch with it, or maybe they don't even know about Christianity. And if for example, if you feel like this zeal to evangelize, or if you feel like I don't know, like this different ministries in the church, and really divine will is the highest one. In some other passage it says like the ones in the divine will be the feet of missionaries and you know, the words, the mouth of those who evangelize, and the preaching of the prophets, and you know, healing of the those with the healing gift. Really, like you know, in the divine will, you can, for example, if you read about some saint or some missionary or someone who was like really struggling a lot and thought he didn't accomplish anything, like even some of the apostles thought that, like Saint James when he went to preach in Spain, he thought he was a failure, like he only converted like 7 or 9 people or something like that. Like we in the divine will, we can enter into their acts, and we can, you know, like it, by doing that, kind of make even more fruitful all their actions. Like we can offer all these things, all their sufferings, to the Eternal Father, and ask that it be multiplied to the infinite and be very fruitful. I mean, really, it's just so amazing. And this so-called fishes in this passage that don't even know that they are in the sea of the divine will are really like, how do you say that? They are like oblivious that there is God who loves them. Really, it's so important to you know, to fill this void of love on their part, to give to Jesus, to give to the Eternal Father the love that they are not giving them. I mean, that's the greatest charity you can do for someone.
Right. You know, how do you know you like a particular flavor of gelato? You have to taste it first. And someone once said, once someone gets a taste of the divine will, the cravings are you're willing to sacrifice everything for it, even to the point of sometimes looking even foolish. I mean, I was just talking to somebody earlier before the program, and there's this happiness that God, again, God is love. He's happiness. So I had this woman, I was online in this supermarket, long line, and it was havoc and commotion going on. This woman comes up and she says, excuse me, are you okay? I said, oh, sure. I said, why do you ask? She says, well, you look so happy. Why? It's miserable here. Look at the line. Look at the. I said, fiat. And she just said, oh. And she walked away. So, you know, you have to have a taste of it. And I hope through this program, we're giving people a taste of it. And again, if you want to take larger bites and drink bigger gulps, just go to our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, or go to the sisters' website. They'll give you their website and just click on anything. Again, it doesn't matter what window or what door you enter into the divine will, just as long as you get in. And it is easy to get in. Jesus says that. He said, I had to make this easy and accessible to all, in all circumstances, all places, in all situations, except those who don't want it. But we want it. Right, sister?
Yeah, that was a great story, Peter. And that's the best way we can evangelize the divine will, too. Sometimes we worry about what should I say, what should I not say? And there are definitely times for words. But when people see our joy, and then when people see us looking at them, like with genuine love and Jesus looking at them in us, they're going to want to know what we've got. They're going to want to know what flavor of gelato we've been eating, because they're going to want right. to eat it too. I mean, that woman may go right. home and like Google, what is fiat mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And the Lord may take her on a journey. We never know what season.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes when you use words, you're going to get a response. Hey, you talking to me? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. People are very, a lot of people are very uptight. It's very unfortunate, because we should be joyous because we're alive. We woke up. No, when we use these terms, grateful to have awakened today, we really mean it. I mean, think about it. You went to bed in a quasi-coma and you woke up. Yeah, the alarm clock may have assisted you, but God woke you up. The divine will woke you up. The blood was flowing. The lungs were breathing. The heart was beating. It's all God's divine will. So to say we don't need God is, it's a fatal blow to us spiritually, and it could be physically. Sister?
Yeah, I come back to the same passage now. December
the fish?
8th.
Oh, by the way, how far away from the water are you? Because Sister Elizabeth's calling for the water to come. Let me go back into the sea. Be careful what you ask for.
We're okay, very close. I was born at the sea, we're now here very close to the Adriatic Sea. So, yeah.
Because you were calling the sea. I'm just saying, be careful what you ask for.
From here, from Talamello, 50 minutes around.
Okay, all right.
From San Marino is more near. From San Marino, you can see the ocean on the terrace. We were contemplate the ocean and also during the night. You can see also during the night the light of the boat, the fisher boat. Nice. Yeah, it was very, very nice.
No wonder the sea is constantly on your mind.
I come back to the December 8th, 1922, and there is a little part that Jesus say, oh, how beautiful it was to see this innocent and privileged creature, enriched with all the divine qualities, coming into our midst, all love, all trust, without fear. And we can use this passage like a mirror to understand what is the difference between me and this innocent creature, Our Lady. The first thing is she went in their midst. Where we are always in the world. Yes, we have to stay in the world. We live here, but we, with our mind, we have to try to do this journey, this trip to the fatherland. We have to go with our heart, with our minds, with the center of our thing. Also, while we are driving, working, eating, speaking, all doing this human and normal acts, we have to try to do Our Lady did. She went in their midst. But in what way? All love. All trust, without fear. Sometimes when we go, Oh, Jesus, help me to resolve this problem. Oh, Jesus, I have this problem. We are always with petition on our mouth. We have to go with love. I want to stay with you. Stop. I don't need anything. I need only you. And you will think about my problem. She was all love. Why? Because she have a full understanding, a full knowledge of Jesus, of God, of the all the Trinity. All trust, because she understood totally and completely that he was omnipotent. And we sometimes we can make our prayer and say, probably Jesus will make me, he will give me this grace. No, it's only the point of the time. We have to wait, because he know what is the good things for us, and without fear. And sometimes we go and we have fear to be judged by God. This is a sin, to have fear to be judged, because he created us. And also, if we are dirty in some way, he will clean us. And cleaning us is to put out his love for us. So if we are dirty, we make God to work. We make God to put out his love. And about this difference, I want to compare this passage with a part of the Bible from Romans chapter 8. Everyone moved by the Spirit is a son of God. The Spirit you receive is not the spirit of slaves bringing fear into your lives again. It is the spirit of sons, and it makes us cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself and our spirit bear united witness that we are children of God. And if we are children, we are heirs as well. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, sharing his sufferings as to share his glory. So no fear to go to the Father, for stay with him, because he's our Abba Father. And do not be afraid also if he want to share with us his suffering, because in one way, in a total way, Jesus suffered for us. So we say before, he divinized all the suffering. So also in suffering, we are united with him. But for what? For to share this glory. And also, I continue only one little part. I think that what we suffer in this life can never be compared to the glory as yet unrevealed, which is waiting for us. The whole creation is eagerly waiting for God to reveal his sons. So what happens during the Immaculate Conception? So all the creation was standing over because of her creation. Well, it have to be happen also for us. This is our hope. It's not a pride, it's a calling. And we have to believe, also accepting the cross.
Jesus says that journeying in the divine will is the greatest calling. And again, we have to, do we trust the words of Jesus? Do we believe in Jesus? Do we have faith in Jesus? Again, that's the most difficult hurdle to overcome before entering into. It's like this big dam that we have to climb. And once we're over it, we're in the reservoir. We've got the purine water. We're back onto the sea. Sister?
Yeah, amen to that. I mean, that was a big part of my journey, just learning how to trust that the Father loved me, you know, that I was loved and that he wanted me to have this gift. As Sister Teresa was reading, I was thinking about something that I had read earlier today from a book called Theology of the Body Explained, written by Christopher West. It's a commentary on John Paul II's Theology of the Body. And he's basically addressing the problem that I think every human being has of not trusting in the Father's love. And he writes, in essence, Christ's self-gift says to us, you don't believe in the Father's love? Let me make it real for you. Let me incarnate it for you so that you can taste and see. You don't believe that God wants to give you life? I will bleed myself dry so that my life's blood can vivify you. You thought God was a tyrant, a slave driver? You thought he would whip your back if you gave him the chance? I will take the form of a slave. I will let you whip my back and nail me to a tree. I will let you lord it over me to show you that the Father has no desire to lord it over you. I have not come to condemn you, but to save you. I have not come to enslave you, but to set you free. Turn from your disbelief. Believe and receive the gift of eternal life I offer you. This is the divine marriage proposal. Christ entrusts himself as a gift to our freedom. I just thought this was so beautiful. This is the divine marriage proposal. And we have to, I mean, if we want to marry God, we don't have to say yes. He gives himself as a gift to our freedom. He wants our free yes. And if we want to give that to him, we have to always look at Our Lady. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. I open myself up to you completely. I trust you completely. Do with me whatever you will. I just thought it was so beautiful. And it's something that I think every day, all of us, we have to remind ourselves over and over again. And all we have to do is really just look at the cross. Because Christ on the cross is the perfect image of the eternal Father, his paternity, his love, his very self, his son in the flesh poured himself out completely for love of us.
Yeah, it's look at it simply like this. I mean, if you haven't dipped your toe in the sea of the divine will, what do you have to lose? I mean, is anyone's life so great? It can't be, because our soul is going to be restless until we're back in that perfect communion that the divine wants to bring us back to. So we have nothing to lose. Sister Teresa?
Yeah, the last
about
thing.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. 2 minutes. Always from the same passages. The three acts that she did when she was conceived. First, she bound her will to the foot of my throne without even wanting to know it. And my will bound itself to her and constituted itself the center of her life. So was a perfect exchange, no more than perfect, because she lose her human will. She gave, no, she lose. She gave with her will. She gave her will, and she received the will of God like a center of his of her life. And there was no more secret between her and God. The second act was to offer herself to any sacrifice for love of us, for love of the Trinity. And the third is to render us the honor and the glory of the whole creation, which man had taken away from us by doing his own will. So she cannot do all this work without the first step. The first step is the same for us, to give totally our will, but not for fear, not for because we have to, because of love, because there is no good without God. The second act, the sacrifice. Sometimes we are afraid to make sacrifice, but it's so natural to make sacrifice if we love a person, because we need to share all our life and our love, and at the end she did all the work for us. She substituted us in our duty to God. So we have a big, big mama.
Amen. You're listening to Radio Maria, Catholic voice in our home. I'd like to end with volume 19, June 20th, 1926. Just a little example of the reciprocal of love, something that Sister Francesca patented that phrase. I think she did. This is Jesus first. Luisa, my daughter, even though you are little and newly born in my divine will, and you live in the kingdom of my divine will, your littleness is my triumph. And then our Blessed Lord responds, Luisa responds, so it is the kingdom of your will in my poor soul that I long for. And this is all my ideal and my primary and my ultimate purpose. This is what we're born for. This is why we're alive. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Radio Maria. Thank you. Love you, sisters. Ciao.
Love you too.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.